Good morning, everyone. See if we can get this open. A lot of good services today, good messages. South Carolina and Vermont. And last, but not least, I hope this is a good one. Evidently, Satan didn't want us to get on the air today, so we're recording it. It'll be up later. I welcome those that are here today and those that will be listening. Today I want to talk a little bit out of 1 Peter 2:9. And last week I spoke in Romans 12:1. About a living sacrifice, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. And now that is giving of yourself daily to those that are without and those that are within. There was talk today about fear and situations and all kinds of stuff coming against people. And it reminded me years and years ago, still young in the Lord, I was studying, reading my Bible. Things have not been going too good for me. I didn't understand, you know, that Jesus said if they hate you, they hated me first. You know, they receive you, they receive me. I didn't understand all that. A lot of people were coming against me. Even had one preacher buy TV time every Sunday just so he could spend an hour lambasting me. The Lord brought him down later. Another story. But I remember sitting there and I was reading and praying and reading, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, Richard. I said, yes, sir. How are you doing? I thought to myself, he cares. It's not like I didn't read that. I mean, you know. But, you know, to have the Lord ask you, how you doing, makes you feel pretty important, which I did at the moment. And I said, well, Lord, I guess I'm doing okay under the circumstances. Then came the pen, you know, the one that busts the bubble. He said, what are you doing under there? Don't you know I've overcome the world? And it was like he left the room. That's all he had to say. And I'm sitting there, what do you mean, Lord? And finally, I came to that place where Jesus had actually said to the disciples, I have no fear or something like that. I've overcome the world. And all of a sudden I realized, if I'm in Jesus, even if I am the lowest part of his foot, if I'm a, what would you call it? A callus on his heel, then I'm above the world. If Jesus has overcome the world and I be in Jesus, then I have overcome the world also. And I realized I did not have to go out and overcome the world myself. First of all, I couldn't do it. You cannot overcome the world no more than I can. But we don't have to, because Jesus already did it. He overcame the world. And when we're in Him, we can rest in what He has done. Now we talked, or I talked last week, about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Jesus did it for us. We need to go forth and do it for others, both in the fellowship and outside. And I'm going to show you why. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now He spoke this, Peter did, to people a couple thousand years ago. But today, those of you who are called by the Lord, those of you who have been enlightened by His Word and received Him and received the Spirit of God, you too are a chosen generation today. And as a royal priesthood, you take the sins off of others and offer them to God. See, that's what a priest does. He offers sacrifice for sin. We offer Jesus. We first take ourselves and offer ourselves a living sacrifice, bring that sin to ourselves, and then offer it to the Father in Jesus Christ. And this is how we have victory. This is how we overcome. It is our job to be a holy nation. That's not a bunch of separate people. That's one people. One people. Is it not true that people of various nations have a loyalty to their own nation? That they will fight for their nation. They will defend their nation. And yet we as Christians seem not to have that. We need to stand together as one nation in God. Not a nation of this world, but a nation of the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual nation, until He brings it down in the physical. We are to show forth the praises of Him. How do you show forth the praises in Christ Jesus if you're running around and it's all about you and your feelings? If it's all about what you want to do and what you don't want to do? I listened to Steve today talk about the joy he received in serving, washing dishes, cleaning bathrooms. I listened to Karen. See, they gave themselves to the task. They gave themselves to the Lord in that. And God blessed them with joy. If you're doing a job that you're asked to do by those that are in authority, and you don't have the joy, then you missed something. You missed the fact that you're not serving yourself or that other person, you are serving Jesus Christ. And when you serve Jesus Christ, he gives you the joy. Now, if you don't like doing a task, you don't like doing it, you don't want to do it, then you don't want to serve God. You don't want to serve Jesus Christ. Whether it be in the ministry or out of the ministry. Whether you be working at Burger King or working as a groundskeeper in a ministry or church. Or maid or cook or whatever. If your heart is to serve God in that thing, he will give you the joy. And the joy isn't there. The problem isn't with God. It's with you. You are the problem. And you need to get over you. So you can get into Christ. And then you can show forth his praises. Not only show forth his praises in the joy that he gives you in serving him, but then you're a vessel that he can use to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, the lame to walk. Then you're worthy, because your worthiness is in him and not in yourself. When you become that nation that can show forth his praises in the joy that he gives you in whatever task you are bid to do, then he can use you to do the greater things. If he can't trust you with a little thing, how can he trust you with a greater thing? I know when I first came to the ministry, I was listening to Steve today about some of the things he thought about happening when he became a minister. When I first came to the ministry, I had visions of preaching 500,000 people at a time, filling great stadiums, having a tent that made Oral Roberts, the world's largest tent, look like a pup tent. I had all kinds of dreams. Oh, how I thank God now they never came to pass. Because surely he would have said to me, I do not know you. I'd have been so prideful and so puffed up. Praise God for the ministry he's given me, the work he's given me to do. Sure, it's a lot easier than trying to preach to 500,000 people, that's for sure. Let alone pay the bills. But he's called you out of the darkness that is in this world to live in his light. And you cannot live in the light of Christ as long as you covet the world and covet yourself. You cannot do it. That's all I gotta say.